I'm with Kerry Doherty. She's wearing a blue American shuttle spaceflight suit, and she's recently come back from a camp called Space Camp. Where is it and what is it?
Right. Space Camp is a space education program that is operated in two locations in the United States, and there's also one now in Japan as well. It's designed as a space awareness training course, if you like, for both children and adults. It operates on a number of different levels. And it's really a fantastic experience that gives you the opportunity of, I don't like to use the word playing, but pretending, shall we say, to be an astronaut. You actually go through a modified program of astronaut training and then get to fly a space shuttle in a simulated shuttle mission.
And which one did you go to?
I went to the original space camp, which is located in Huntsville in Alabama in the United States. The other space camp is in Florida, and then the one in Japan is in Kitakyushu City at a place called Space World, would you believe, which is a Japanese theme park. But the first space camp was established in 1982 in Huntsville. And given that most people will never have heard of Huntsville, they'll undoubtedly ask, why was it put in such an out-of-the-way place? Now, the reason for that is that Huntsville is, in fact, the home of Marshall Space Flight Center, which is one of NASA's major centers involved in the development of rockets. And, of course, that meant it was the home of Wernher von Braun, the originally German rocket engineer who was the driving force behind the US space program. Now, von Braun was not merely an engineer. He was a man with a great deal of vision and imagination and a great believer in encouraging children to be interested in space and also in general science through their interest in space. And so, as you know, in America, they have, you know, summer camps for everything, tennis, various types of sports, horse riding, you name it, there's a summer camp that the parents will send their children off to get them out of the house. And von Braun conceived the idea of a space camp so that instead of going off to ride horses or, you know, sail canoes or whatever, the kids would go off to learn about space and practice or simulate being astronauts. And that's how the idea started. He convinced the state of Alabama and the various engineering, the large contracting companies who provide equipment to the US space program, to band together to build both a museum and space camp. And it's been operating ever since. The original space camp, as they opened in 1982, originally there were only children's programs operated for junior high school students. Since then, they've now expanded. They have programs for children from about 9 to 10 year old. They have junior and senior high school programs. They have an adult program and also a teacher training program so that trainee teachers or even qualified teachers can go and learn how to use space in the classroom as a teaching aid for children.
We'd certainly like something like that here, wouldn't we, Kerry?
Oh, wouldn't we just? Because there have been a number of proposals to establish a space camp in Australia, and in fact there are still three going at the moment, including two proposals to establish a space camp in different places in Queensland. But so far, unfortunately, none of them have got off the ground due to various financial problems.
Day one, you've arrived at Huntsville, Alabama. What does the budding space cadet do or experience?
Well, I have to say, because exactly what happens depends on which course you're doing, and I can only speak of the adult course, which is the one that I did, obviously. Day one is your settling in day, and after you get assigned to your quarters in the space station, as it were. In fact, they've recently built a large complex in Huntsville to house the space camp all in one location before it was spread out among a number of different buildings and parts of the museum, the space museum there. And they've now built a specialised complex which is based on the design of the space station Freedom. And the so-called HAB modules or sleeping modules are then broken up into smaller quarters for 2 to 4 people. And so you're assigned a sleeping module in your space station. And pardon me. Then you're in fact given a test. And this test is to determine how much you already know about the US space program. And while that might seem a bit hard, there's, you know, to do something like that to you when you get there, there's a reason for it, and that is that the crew assignments for your space shuttle or space mission simulations, and you do too, but your crew assignments are based on a combination of how well you do in the test and your preferences. And again, the reason for that is that some of the roles that you take in the simulation, such as commander, pilot, flight director and so forth, require a lot of learning. You know, there's a lot of concentrated learning you have to do in a very short period of time. So the more you already know, the bigger start you've got and the better you'll go in making the simulation an enjoyable experience for everyone.
I suppose everyone wants to be a commander of the space shuttle, is that right?
Well, I wouldn't say everybody does. I certainly did.
And did you?
Yes, I did, in fact. I was their first non-American shuttle commander in the adult course, as a matter of fact.
Well done.
I think it actually put my pilot's nose out of joint, because he was a commercial an American commercial pilot who had his heart set on being mission commander. And I think he was a little annoyed that he got pipped at the post by this Australian. But to say, you're given the option of indicating which roles you would like to have. You don't have to have mission commander. Even if you get the top score and you've opted for mission specialist, well, then you'll obviously get straight into mission specialist if that's what you want. So the roles are assigned on a combination of the test scores and your stated preferences.
So then, do you do some training for the mission, and then do you carry out a simulated one?
That's right. The next day and a half are a combination of general lectures, informational lectures on different aspects of the American space program, and training simulations for various roles that you will undertake, or various aspects of the mission that you will undertake in the final simulations. And you do two simulations, both of which are identical in their conduct, but in one you are mission control crew, and in the other you are space shuttle or space station crew. So you have to train for both sets of roles. Because the commander and pilot's roles are the most intensive in the space shuttle simulation, you actually get a couple of pretty easy roles in the mission control simulation, so that you can concentrate more on the other, on the space shuttle roles. But you know, there are very demanding roles in both simulations. Now, among the simulators that you get to train on are the most fantastic space shuttle crew compartment simulator, which Space Camp's claim is that it's better than anything outside of NASA. And in fact, they say that it's better than some that are within NASA. And having actually also had the good fortune to try out the shuttle simulator in Houston, where the astronauts train themselves, I can say that yes, Space Camp is not boasting unnecessarily. The video graphics that they have in the windows particularly far outstrip the ones that they use at NASA. The whole thing is hydraulically mounted so that it can actually move and rock and shake and provide you with all the physical sensations of the movement of the shuttle at takeoff and touchdown and so forth. And the only thing you can't get with it is the weightlessness.
Well, they'll work on that, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. They do have a large pool at which you can actually undertake weightlessness training in the way that the astronauts do, which is that, you know, you have your spacesuit and scuba gear on, and they put you into the water and you practice aspects of the mission in the tank, weighted in such a way that you are technically weightless.
Did you manage to do that?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. As commander, I didn't have to have a spacewalk, so I didn't get that one, but I had a lot of other fun opportunities instead.
And then they throw you on an actual mission, don't they? A simulated mission.
Yes. What they actually provide, they provide you with a timeline and a sort of basic script so that you have something to work to. That way that, you know, somebody who's perhaps a bit shy doesn't get tongue-tied or something and not know what to do next. And that is what you follow. But throughout the mission, the flight or the simulation director, who is a space camp staff member, will actually throw in emergencies or unexpected situations into the general flight profile that you're following. And of course, you have trained for these various simulations throughout the training period leading up to the mission itself. I think they really had it in for me, because everybody else in their missions got 3 emergencies and I got 5, including 2 that weren't in the book. Well, and I thought that was a bit unfair. Mind you, we got back in one piece.
They obviously know that Australians are a good metal.
That could be it. But no, we got back in one piece. We did better than the group before us who blew up on the launch pad.
Oh dear.
Yes, they forgot to open a particular oxygen valve during their pre-flight check. And so, of course, they blew themselves up on the launch pad.
Did they get a second go?
Yes, they do. I mean, of course, when people do things like that, obviously you can't destroy the total mission, so they recycle the simulation and do it again. In fact, we had 2 launch aborts. I had a return to launch site abort, and then I had when I had my second launch, I had an abort to orbit.
That means?
That means, of course, that we were able to get into orbit, but we were doing it on reduced power, so that we were actually in a lower orbit than we might otherwise have been.
What, that reduced power because an engine had failed?
An engine had failed, yes.
So how many engines does the shuttle have?
The shuttle has 3 main engines, plus, of course, at liftoff, the 2 solid rocket boosters, which are attached on either side of the external tank. And these give the shuttle the extra push that it needs to get into orbit.
Now, the shuttle stays up usually for up to 10 days. I mean, how long did your simulation last?
In our case, the simulation was about 2.5 hours. We actually had a real-time liftoff and a real-time touchdown, that is, from re-entry to touchdown, with, of course, about an hour and a half in between then of simulated in-space activities, which included a spacewalk by our mission specialists, the launching of a satellite, and our space shuttle docking with the space station in order to bring supplies up to the crew who were working on the space station at the time. Oh, and conducting experiments in our own onboard space lab.
And how many people are at space camp at one time? How many can they take at a time?
Actually, all up a couple of hundred, because they break the groups up into groups of about 20 to 30 and then stagger the simulations in such a way that they can have everybody doing a different thing at one time. So that, and particularly with the school groups, the children's groups, they can have up to about 200 there at any one time. I should say too that, going back to the simulations for a moment, that the senior high school simulation actually runs for 24 hours. So they run the entire thing as a whole day in space. And that includes eating their own space food and everything.
Okay. Who actually can go to space camp? Are there any restrictions? We've talked about junior children and high school and adults. And you're an Australian, presumably overseas people can go. Who can actually go to space camp?
Anyone can go to space camp who, A, can afford it, because it isn't cheap. It'll cost you, apart from your airfare to get to the United States, it's going to cost you about $500 or $600 US for the course. Presuming you can pay for it, anyone who is in good health, and both physical and mental, can do the course. There is no academic requirement, except in case of the teacher training course, where obviously you have to be either a trained or a trainee teacher. But otherwise, you don't have to be particularly brilliant. As long as you're in good health or reasonable health and, prepared to work in a team, you can go.
Well, thanks for joining us today on The Space Show and Southern FM.
That's my pleasure. Thanks a lot.